Yesterday we celebrated the great feast of the exaltation of the cross. We reflected on the paradox that's at the very heart of our faith. That is, we celebrate the painful and unjust death of our Savior. We hold up the cross as a trophy of his victory. Yesterday, we reflected a little bit on the experience of the cross, how our nature tends to reject the very idea of suffering, and also the possibility of embracing our suffering as a participation in his, as an action, a decision to love. And this was yesterday that the idea that without the cross, there's no love. We can't love unless we accept the cross. Now, today, we honor Our Lady of Sorrows, and this feast brings in another dimension, which we barely touched on yesterday. It's one thing to think about suffering or about the cross in a kind of theoretical way. It's another thing to think about the cross in the sense of our own sufferings. But today we reflect on the experience of being with someone who's suffering. Mary, at the foot of the cross, we assume, was in perfectly good physical health. She didn't have any illnesses, she didn't have any, you know, physical aches or pains, but she was suffering the sword of sorrow. And this suffering with others, this suffering which we usually call compassion, is what we are focused on today. And of course, Mary is the supreme example of it. In the guidebook to the liturgy that comes from the Bishop's Conference, it says this about today's memorial of Our Lady of Sorrows. By the 14th century, the faithful identified 7 sorrows of Mary: the presentation in the temple, that's the gospel I just read, the flight into Egypt, Jesus being lost in Jerusalem, the meeting of Mary and Jesus on the way to Calvary, the crucifixion, the taking down of Jesus' body from the cross, and his burial. 7 sorrows of Mary. And you're probably familiar with this devotional tradition because most images of Our Lady of Sorrows in the Philippines show her with 7 knives or 7 swords sticking out of her heart. It's kind of the expressive Spanish devotional art, full of swords and usually tears, and she's wearing black, and it's a very a clear image of a sorrowful person, sorrowful woman. The liturgy focuses especially on the prophecy of Simeon that Mary would experience a sword, and the fulfillment of that prophecy at the foot of the cross. So the 2 optional gospels on this feast are the one I read, Simeon's prophecy, and the other option, which I didn't read, is Mary standing beside the cross of her son, and Jesus saying to the disciple, "Behold your mother," saying to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." I said at the beginning of the Mass, the 2 images we have here in the sanctuary are Father Francis's drawing of Mary holding the child there. That's one over there, Our Lady of Sorrows, or Our Sorrowful Mother. And then the other one here, Mary standing at the foot of the cross. That's the liturgical tradition. That's the scriptural tradition. The devotional tradition puts them into 7. And if you look at the 7 sorrows, you can see there's really 2 major categories. There's the sorrows of Mary associated with Jesus' childhood, and the sorrows of Mary associated with Jesus' death. Perhaps mothers, especially any mother who has lost a child, would know there are sorrows associated with raising children. And if you lose a child, if a child dies before the parents die, that's a grief, that's a wound that is incomparable to a mother. So that's part of what we're looking at here. If you think about the image of Our Lady of Sorrows with the seven swords, and you look at these two images that I pointed out in the sanctuary, you might notice a slight difference in emphasis. And Father Francis deliberately did this. He didn't usually refer to her as Our Lady of Sorrows. He referred to her as Our Sorrowful Mother. So she's not just a woman experiencing sorrow, she's a mother who is sorrowful. And that brings out the fruitfulness of her suffering. Again, it might be a subtle difference, but if you notice in this image, Mary is holding the child and looking at the future crucifixion. In this image, Mary is at the foot of her son dying on the cross. So it's always Mary with Jesus, whereas the devotional image of Mary with the seven sorrows, Jesus is not in that image. It's just Mary and her swords. Now, of course, you can do it different ways, but I'd like to focus a little bit on this idea of sorrowful mother, because it helps us understand the kind of sorrow that we're talking about, a fruitful sorrow, a life-giving, a maternal sorrow. Mary is, first of all, she's not in self-pity at the cross, and she's not in self-pity when she's thinking about the passion. It's not the sorrow that we can sometimes sink into, how bad we feel. That's not it. Mary also is not interpreting her suffering as a punishment for her sins. This is what a lot of us do when we experience sorrow, or when our loved ones are suffering. We say, well, why is God punishing me? Mary did not do that. First of all, she had no sin. And she also knew that God doesn't punish in the way that we usually think of it. So the person who does the worst crime gets the worst punishment. Well, that's not really how it works. Yes, suffering is connected to sin, no doubt about that. You see that right on the cross. But it's not true that in this life, the people who sin more suffer more. In fact, looking at it from the more spiritual standpoint or the mystical standpoint, the people who suffer more are the people who have the capacity to love more, because suffering is connected to love. So that's an insight into Mary's sorrow. She's not blaming God or accusing God of punishing her, or accusing God of punishing her son. Now, the other thing that she's not doing is she's not assuming, as many people do, that because she's suffering or because her son is suffering, that God doesn't love her, or that God has abandoned her or has abandoned her family. That's what a lot of people do when they're suffering. They say, God, how can God be good? If God were good, he wouldn't allow this to happen. Mary doesn't go down that road. It's a dead end road anyway, because it's a judgment against God. What does Mary do? Well, she unites herself fully with the suffering of her son. She unites her heart with his heart. That's the fullest experience of the sword that Simeon spoke about. And this is love. This is a masterclass in mature love. You want to understand how to deal with sorrow, especially deal with the suffering of your loved ones, look at how Mary does this. She remains with him. She stands at the cross. She takes it on. She accepts it. She embraces it. She with her whole heart, unites herself with what Jesus is doing or experiencing. Now, she doesn't necessarily understand it all. Who can understand suffering? She wouldn't be able to give an explanation like I'm doing right now. Probably not. Although she would certainly be able to say, God is good. And she would be able to say, God's will be done. Let it be done to me according to your word. Let your will unfold fully in my life. She would always say that. But she wouldn't necessarily be able to explain why or how it's working. What we can do with reflecting or pondering the sorrows of Mary, we can say, well, she is doing what someone with profound compassion does. When we have compassion, naturally we would like to take the other, our loved one's suffering away. We would like to diminish the suffering. But sometimes we can't do that. And that's part of the pain. When we see someone suffering and we feel that helplessness, there's nothing I can do, or it feels that way, there's nothing I can do to help my loved one. I'm just standing here watching him bleeding. What we can do, though, is be fully united with the one who's suffering. This is Mary, standing at the cross, making the same offering that he's offering. He's offering himself to the Father. What is Mary doing? She's offering her son to the Father. It's one offering, two hearts united in one sacrifice. And what this does is it opens the way for an outpouring of abundant new life. That's why she's a sorrowful mother, not just a sorrowful lady, a sorrowful mother. Her sorrow bears life. It's like the labor pains. You know, a woman giving birth to a child is sorrowful. She's sorrowful. But those pains of labor bear the fruit of new life in the world. That's the analogy that the church, that Jesus himself connects to the sorrows of his mother. And so when he says to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother," he's revealing this fruitfulness of sorrow. How can he say, "Behold your mother"? She's my mother. Well, of course she's Jesus' mother. There's no disputing that. But in what way is she the mother of the beloved disciple? In what way is she the mother of anyone other than Jesus? In the way she has united herself fully with him so that we, or the beloved disciple, or anyone, can receive the life that comes from the cross. That's how it works. So to call her sorrowful mother emphasizes this fruitfulness of suffering. And this is a lesson that Mary would really want us to learn. Don't waste suffering. Don't let the sometimes overwhelming experience of suffering in the world prevent you from being a channel of new life for people. Even if you don't understand it. And as I say, who understands it? I don't. But it doesn't matter, as long as we can make the decision to be a participant, to be a cooperator in what God is doing. Then God is the one who actually brings forth the life or makes us fruitful. So it's a very beautiful, it's quite a bracing mystery to ponder. But life is sometimes very bracing. It's very difficult. But at least it's a hopeful, a profoundly hopeful feast that even the worst things that happen in the world, in our families, in our lives, even the worst things that happen can really be fruitful. Even if we don't understand it. Or even if we can't see the fruit right away. Right? What does Mary see at the cross? Nothing fruitful. Nothing good. Nothing of God's goodness, nothing of the fulfillment of God's plan, nothing of God's promises to her that her son would be great and would reign forever. She can't see any of that. But she still unites herself with what God is doing at the cross. And that's a profound lesson for us all on this feast day of Our Lady of Sorrows, our sorrowful mother.